You are listening to Football at its Finest with Will Black. Football at its Finest, featuring all things NFL, college football, and daily fantasy sports. Follow Will Black on Twitter at Will Black Talk. Football at its Finest, available on TuneIn, Captivate.fm, Apple iTunes, and Spotify.
Three, two, one.
What's going on, everybody? I am Will Black, and welcome to this episode of Football at its Finest, the Monday Night Football matchup featuring the Seattle Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings superseded many of our expectations. As a matter of fact, Vegas anticipated a lower scoring game, setting their total points line at 48.5. As the seconds ticked away in the second quarter, the score sat at 17-10 in favor of the visiting Northmen, and it appeared that the American football audience would be privy to another knockdown, drag-out, low-scoring affair. Seattle punted on the opening possession of the game, and Minnesota got the scoring started with a six-play, 80-yard drive, capped off with a two-yard touchdown run by Mr. Dalvin Cook. Seattle quickly responded with a touchdown of their own, finishing off a 14-play, 75-yard drive that all but ended the first quarter. 7-7 going into the quarter number two, and the first of many fireworks exploded and sent its sparks across the gridiron and throughout social media. The teams traded punts to begin the second quarter, and after Minnesota floundered on their second possession in the quarter, Seattle took the ball, ready to do damage. There's where the damage comes in. Russell Wilson dropped back to pass to Jacob Hollister, sitting in the middle of the field for a first down. And as Wilson let the ball fly, number 96 of Minnesota, Armin Watts, puts his big paw up in the air, bats the ball back in the direction of Wilson, who reactively bats the ball again. It then floats in the air like a stray bit of cotton from a cottonwood tree and eventually falls gently into the waiting arms of newly returned from injury Anthony Harris, who in turn takes it into the end zone for a 20-yard interception return for a touchdown, his fourth interception on the season. This puts Minnesota up 14-7, and momentum seems to have swung back to the Vikings. Skull. Russell Wilson, not one to be fazed by fluky circumstances, engineers a six-play drive resulting in a field goal, cutting the lead to only 4 points. Kirk Cousins replies with his own scoring drive, capped off by a Dan Bailey 47-yard field goal, 17-10 Vikings at the end of the first half. But of course, the second half featured some of the most enjoyable football seen on Monday night this season. The third quarter began with a Vikings punt, followed by a Seahawks drive that took 9 plays, covered 71 yards in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. 17-17, and it is a whole new ball game. Minnesota suffers a brutal loss on their next possession. A first down run by Dalvin Cook ends in a fumble, and his exiting the game never to return due to an aggravation of an SC joint injury. SC does not stand for Sports Center. No, SC stands for sternoclavicular. Sternoclavicular. There we go. I'm a doctor. Tyreek Hill had the same issue, and he came back after a few weeks, but it sounds like Dalvin Cook actually injured this earlier, and well, you know, he injured it about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he just hasn't quite gotten back yet. So, he never returned. If you want more information on these types of things, especially in games, follow at ProFootballDoc on Twitter. He does the best in-game analysis on injuries, in my opinion. His name is Dr. David Chow. He is fantastic. In spite of excellent field position, the Vikings defense held strong, forcing Seattle to settle for a field goal, taking the lead for the first time in the contest. 20-17 Seattle with 5:46 left in the third quarter. Minnesota struggled on the ensuing drive to move the ball. A false start and drop passes led to yet another Viking punt, their fourth of the game. Now, of course, Russell Wilson wasn't going to pass up on this opportunity, and his streak of big play touchdowns thrown against the coverage of Xavier Rhodes continued, hitting David Moore on a 60-yard bomb. It looked as if Rhodes expected safety help, and he let David Moore get by him more than he normally would have, and the scoreboard read 27-17. Seahawks, 17 unanswered points in the third quarter. That's incredible. Kirk Cousins began the next drive with little time left on the clock, and after only having three interceptions on the season, a quick pass to the sideline on an out route to Diggs goes through the normally sure-handed receiver's hands and bouncing into the arms of the Seattle defender, Trey Flowers, and it appeared that all was lost for Minnesota. It didn't get any better. Three touches of the ball for Rashad Penny. That's all it took for Seattle to get into the end zone once again, and the score showed 34-17 early in the fourth quarter. Not to be outdone, though. Kirk Cousins, he showed his mettle, perhaps earning some of the trust of the Minnesota Vikings fans slightly. He didn't play terrible, just a couple miscues. But he came out looking to get his team back in the game, and whether it be the fates or just plain dumb luck, Seattle did essentially the only thing you can't do when up 17 in the fourth quarter. You can't have busted coverage, and you can't allow a receiver to get behind you. Well, they did both. They did just that, and Laquon Treadwell burned rubber and took the ball 58 yards to the house. 34-24 in the blink of an eye, the game is back on. The most incredible up and down drives I've seen in football this year then occurred. The Vikings force Seattle into a three and out, and on fourth and three, they appear ready to punt the ball away. They're up 10, 11 minutes and change left in the game. The ball's on your own 32-yard line. Of course you punt it. But hold on. This is Pete Carroll we're talking about. And that rambling, gambling son of a gun did the exact opposite of what everybody thought he would do. He calls a fake punt. You can see the video on my Twitter at WillBlackTalk. The direct snap goes to number 25, Travis Homer, who takes it not 3, not 5, not 10 yards, but 29 yards. Not only getting the first down, but he flips the field position. So even if Seattle would be forced to punt again, they have a greater chance of pinning Minnesota deep in their own territory. Everything was working towards a Seattle victory, and then another turn of events. A short pass from Wilson to Metcalf on third down would have been a first down and probably taking enough time off the clock, get a field goal. That would have probably ended the game right there. But the initial ruling on the field was an incomplete pass. In truth, it was a clear and obvious fumble that Minnesota recovered. New life for the Northmen once again. Skull. Love me some coffee. Let's see where we're at. This was a fantastic game. It really was. I enjoyed it. Sometimes you have to put Monday Night Football on mute, but I'm not as offended by the call as others seem to be. New life for the Northmen. New life for the Northmen. How do they respond? They go 8 plays, 72 yards in 2 minutes and 20 seconds. It was the Kyle Rudolph show with 2 excellent catches. One early in the drive for 17 yards on the sideline. The second, a one-handed snag for 3 yards and a touchdown. Now, it should be noted that this drive was assisted by a 30-yard defensive pass interference flag thrown on the Trey Flowers coverage of Stephon Diggs. Trey Flowers also had the interception earlier in the game. So a plus one, minus one for him. But honestly, if he doesn't foul Stephon Diggs, Diggs is probably going to catch it and might even score on that play. So sometimes pass interference is not the worst thing in the world. especially if you're beat at this in a game like this. But Kyle Rudolph does get the 3-yard touchdown pass from Cousins, and Dan Bailey misses his third point after attempt of the season. 17-12 left in the game. Minnesota had climbed to within 4 points, 34-30. Seattle was rolling early on their next drive, mixing runs and passes, but then Wilson took a 13-yard loss on a sack, which eventually led to a Seattle punt. This time, toe actually met leather, and Minnesota took over with 3.5 minutes to play. Cousins began with a nice 19-yard catch-and-run play to Kyle Rudolph. However, 3 of his next 4 attempts fell incomplete, including a couple drops, and Seattle took over on downs. With only 2 minutes and 27 seconds left on the game clock, Minnesota would be forced to spend their timeouts and hope for a quick stop on defense. 2 timeouts used following a 6 and 3-yard run, respectively. 3rd and 1 for Seattle, 2 minutes, 17 seconds remaining. Chris Carson takes the ball up the middle for 11 angry yards, and now Minnesota only had 2 clock stoppages left at their disposal. They take their 3rd and final timeout on the other side of the 2-minute warning, and 3 consecutive run plays by Seattle drain the clock to 21 seconds. Jason Myers steps into a 36-yard field goal, which he makes, and the lead is 7. Seattle wisely employs the pooch kick strategy, which normally puts the ball in the hands of a less speedy return man, and they got what they wanted. CJ Ham takes the ball and subsequently fumbles after being contacted. None other than Travis Homer of the aforementioned fake punt recovers the fumble, and game ends with no chance at a last-second miracle pass from Cousins to Diggs. In truth, this game had everything one could ask for. Points scored, but defense was played. Exciting trickery, fluky interceptions, it was all there. Now, I do have one complaint, and it would be this. Why do you have pylon cam? Why do you have first down cam? And yet you still feel the need to send the referee to stare into a monitor screen to review down, distance, and placement of the ball. Certain plays, like spotting the ball correctly, in my opinion, should not rest on a coach's challenge. There are plenty of eyes watching these games. There is no reason whatsoever a booth official can't simply buzz down and give the guys on the field a hand and just keep the game flow going. Just say, oh, hey, we just saw the replay. Put the ball here. This is the time on the clock. All right, thanks. Move on. Instead, it's 2.5 minutes of, I don't know, when everybody knows. You're staring at it on your TV screen. Twitter could get the ball placement faster than the system that they have for refs. Now, granted, they do like to utilize that time as an excuse to take commercial breaks and get their ads in. So, that's understandable. But aside from all that, it was a fantastic game of football. Really enjoyed watching it. DraftKings Showdown, like I said, lineups didn't quite get there. $10 in, $6 return, so a negative $4 loss. I had a little too much Josh Gordon and Stephon Diggs. Everyone else did great, but in Showdown, you got to be near perfect. All right, with that, I'm going to wrap this up. Another week of NFL action has come to a close, and it has been my pleasure participating with analysis, predictions, previews, and recaps. Football at its finest is off and running, and content will be consistently at your fingertips all the way through the end of the Super Bowl. Thank you for listening. I am Will Black. Give me a follow on Twitter at Will Black Talk. If you enjoyed the episode, tell your friends and family about what you have heard here today. And until next time, for Football at its finest, I am Will Black, reminding you to think, ask, listen, and know.